Welcome back. It's another Bob and Tom Extra. This is Christopher. Not only is the Bob and Tom Show live every weekday morning, but every afternoon we'll give you a little extra in case you missed anything. Coming up on the show today, comedian John Heffron. He's coming up in just a minute.
Jim Rome takes on sports.
I will always have a complicated relationship with this game, but people evolve. So do sports. Do not make me regret this. Do not make me devolve back to that guy that so many clones wish that I still was. And do not embarrass the entire country. Now, I can go back. I can get there fast. Lose tonight, and you got a real problem. Do not blow it.
The Jim Rome Show podcast.
You've been warned.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
Hey, Bob. What are you doing out here?
Same thing you're doing. You got a light?
Oh, we are smoking in front of the building. We are standing. We are talking. But mostly, we are smoking. We are smoking in front of the building.
I met a girl from another office. She's a smoker, just like me. Now we're dating, and we're smoking. We're smoking in front of the building. Never was a smoker until I looked outside. They were smoking while I was working. So now I'm smoking in front of the building.
Now, some more Bob and Tom. This is Bob and Tom Extra.
John Heffron, a distinguished comedian for many years, and we've established a few things. You just moved. You were living on a farm there for a while. You've been married for, you said, you think 5 years.
Yeah.
Since I last saw you, I don't recall you wearing glasses before. This is just part of the aging process?
Yeah. It's definitely because I'm 50. I said 56. I'm only 55. I don't know. I don't do good numbers.
Yeah.
I have our
numbers
guy.
Sure.
But so I'm supposed to wear contacts on stage because I have positional vertigo. But here's what you guys will wear contacts. Average amount of time it takes to put contacts in, about an hour and 25 minutes.
Is that it? Okay.
Okay. And here's what I realized about contacts. You need glasses on to put contacts in. is a thing that I can't. So what happens is so I have one eye. This eye is 350.
Yeah.
Right. And this eye is 125.
Oh my.
So it's weird. So everyone on this side of the room, I see your soul. Everybody on this side of the room, I see there's a hair right here that I miss. So it's kind of like there's a moth on my ring cam. Just kind of annoying. But so even before here, I'm like, I'm going to wear my contacts. So I look at the, you know, it says left or right. Yeah. You got to look at the, I don't know who designed. Because if you don't want contacts, they come in this, like, McNugget dipping sauce thing. You know what I'm saying? Right? And then you have to look at the number and go, oh, that's the left or right side. But I don't know who wrote the number.
Yeah.
Because they're like, hey, we got a, what size font should we use right here? A three? Probably works. Yeah, but the people can't see it. I don't care about the people. Get a thing. And then some guy at the meeting raised his hand and goes, listen, I know a guy who can paint battleships on rice. Do you want to get him to write the numbers? Yes, get that guy. Absolutely. Now we have room for random serial numbers and a website.
Yeah, and they also remember that fad on stereos when people had stereos to do pretty much dark gray ink on black.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you can't read anything, you can't see it.
Yeah, I don't. I thought I put contacts in. And walked around the house, and I was like, oh, I see Claire. You know, I saw posters, or not pictures on the wall that I could never read. Like, we have rules of the house. There's this, my wife has, like, this house is laughter and joy and supper. And it's like, and then if you keep reading, and we have the right to sell your information to third parties. Right? You just keep reading, and you have to say, and I saw that. And then the whole day, I thought I saw better. Then I went to brush my teeth. Looked down into the sink and saw two contacts. So what did that mean? They never made it into my face. But the whole day, I saw better.
Yeah.
I had placebo contacts. And it worked.
Wow.
Yeah.
What does positional vertigo mean?
It's, I had it on stage. It's weird. It's, if I move my head too quick or up and down, I'm done. Right? So I was on stage a couple months ago, and the whole room started spinning super bad. So I grab a hold of the mic because I think I'm going to fall, and then I start to flop sweat, right? And then this lady heckles me, and if you don't know me as a comic, I don't get heckled a lot because for 36 years, I only make fun of myself. I don't do jokes about race, religion, or I'm vanilla. I throw softballs. I'm the Matchbox 20 of comedy. You know, like, you guys will enjoy me, but you're indifferent. You know? But, like, people will come to my show and go, that guy was hilarious. And if there was a police sketch artist and go, can you tell us what he looked like? They'll go, no, he didn't know. Nothing about him. Stuck. I just know I enjoyed myself for that. So I'm sweating like crazy, and the lady in the front row just goes, please go to the hospital.
Oh, right? God.
So then I get off stage, and I find this little room at the comedy club, and I fall, and I throw up. And, you know, the comedy club managers, God love them, but at this point in my life, they all were fired from Dave and Buster's, and now they're over managing comedy clubs, and they're 20, and they want to make sure, can you keep your time tight? We have two shows Saturday. Yeah, I knew that in 87 when I started. Thank you. Thank you for explaining that to me. I'm not an Instagram star. We have to explain how to. So I'm on the ground throwing up, and man, I threw up a piece of Hubba Bubba from 1982. And the manager kid is above me going, do you want to, should you go to the hospital? And here he's a young kid, so he doesn't know a couple things. I'm a 55-year-old married guy. I don't have, do I go to the hospital decision-making capabilities?
Yes.
That's not my department. That's not, I don't have that type of, you have to ask the wife, does he go to the hospital? I don't have, I don't have that type of, because my wife did that recently. I went to Costco for my glasses just because I like hot dogs, so I don't have time to get into it. Yeah. So she texted me again, and she goes, hey, while you're at Costco, can you look at washer and dryers? Which I thought was a funny text because, again, I don't have the power of attorney to purchase
of course,
a washer and dryer. And so we had to get two new ones. And the ones we had, the brand, not a fan of. I don't know who your sponsors are. So okay. with this
yeah.
thing, I'll just say it plays a 5-minute song when it thinks it's done. So, our washer and dryers are very Gen Z, like very Zennial. Here's why. You could throw a sweatshirt and a pair of jeans into the washer. It'll get to the spin cycle and go, kunk, kunk, and then stop and just go, I'm unbalanced right now. I feel unbalanced. I don't think you're giving me the safe space I need to. And then you just yell at it, you know, open the lid, right? And then our dryer is the same, you know, same thing. And our dryer is like, we sense when clothes are dry. We just sense it. Yeah. We're a Montessori dryer. We believe in clothes first, and we don't like to label all the clothes as dry because some clothes don't dry at the same speed. But we don't want those clothes to feel less than. So we let them just dry at their own speed. So then that real quick, then it made me think of growing up. So I was born, right? We were up. Yeah. And then I went to my parents' house. And there was a washer, a dryer, and a refrigerator already there before I got there. And in my entire life, I don't remember a new one coming in my entire life.
Nope.
They did replace. And I think back to the washer and dryers of the 70s and 80s. And follow me on this one. Washer and dryers now are coddled. You listening, you probably have your washer and dryer. There's probably shiplap behind it with Subway tile. Yep. And then there's a sign that says laundry and suds, 5 cents. Right?
Yep.
So our washer dryers back then, you'd have to go downstairs, click the light, yep. hope you don't get murdered. Yep. Right? And they were that lime green yellow. And there was no unbalanced. I just pictured them being very Detroit Teamstery.
Right?
Those washers, like, look, you get your job done, you're unbalanced, you take it home, okay? What are you, a curling iron?
And that's right.
And you could put snowmobile boots in there, a little brother, right? And now it goes, blah, 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 blah. And then you come downstairs, and it was 10 feet off the wall.
Right?
And your mom's sitting on it, which is weird. And then, right, and then our dryer on ours has like seven, this, like this one, click, just be nice to this shirt. Like just don't tumble it hard. This one, tumble for like a minute, then take a 30-second rest, and then a minute, and do five of those. Our dryer back then was, I don't even remember, like a timer. There's a button,
yeah,
and you hit it, and that attitude was, look, okay, you're not down here in 22 minutes. It all burns. It all burns. I'm not a baby, right? You rush down there. You touch it. Steam would come out. You'd reach your finger in there. You'd have Oshkosh branded onto your thumb. And then you pull out your favorite sweatshirt. Oh, man. It looks like you got it from Wish or something.
Oh, God. Yep. All true. John Heffron.
Hey.
Absolute facts about contemporary life. Also an author of a non-comedy book, is safe to say, called The Maskers. Yeah. Kind of a sci-fi meets...
Yeah, I did. If we have time, I'll give you a quick origin story. So I was driving to Costco. Remember that story from a little bit ago? So I'm driving there, and my wife said, hey, you have to get tested today. I'm going to make this story quick. So I had to go to a clinic and at 55 get tested for ADD.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, all right.
So I walk into this room. It's me and some 14-year-old kid getting ready to take this thing. And the test taker person goes, okay, everybody, you're going to take this test? It's going to be about 3 hours long. And I go, I have ADD. Was that the test? Was that the real test? Like the paper test doesn't mean anything, right? Just how we respond. So yeah. I have ADD. Do I get a sticker or a dog now? What happens to me? Right? So then I have not been in a desk to take a test since, gosh, probably Bon Jovi, Never Say Goodbye was number one. So I'm sitting there. The 14-year-old kid is just in it. And I'm bored, so I did what I did back in the day. I took out my little knife. I carved the Van Halen symbol into the desk.
Nice.
I took out a marker, wrote, "This class sucks." Right? Drew a TIE fighter. Then I got up for no reason, walked in front, and mimicked sharpening a pencil just because my body was like used to do this.
Yeah. Right.
And then I took the thing off and got rid of the shavings for just be a brown noser to the teacher. Yeah. Right. And then when I walked by a girl who was taking it, I had one of those paper things and I go, pick a color. And I did that little move. You did. And so I took the test. And if you could score 20, I got like a 17. Right. So then they go, "Hey, we're going to put you on Adderall. That'll make you feel better." Now, I'm anti-Big Pharm. I'm like, I'm not taking a pill. Just take a pill. So they go, "Just try it for 1 week." I go, I don't really want to do this. So I took it that morning. And that afternoon, I told my wife, I'm like, this isn't going to do anything. I'm mad that I actually took it. And by the time nighttime came, I was so mad that I took an Adderall. I wrote an 80,000-word essay about how Adderall does not affect men in their 50s. And then when I was moving the garage from the left side of the house to the right, I'm like, the world needs to know that Adderall does nothing. So the musical comes out, I believe, in February. And then that got us to this book where I'm like, I have this idea for a book. Boy, Adderall, since Adderall's not working, I'm going to knock out this book. So I wrote it. I'm pretty proud of it. It's a science fiction book, basically.
Cool,
it happens in the not too near future where there's no jobs. There's only a gig economy. And so people put on a mask and they become the avatar that the customer wants them to be, because everyone loves their avatars, right?
Oh.
And every time the masker does what the customer want, they get a 8-second boost of energy, like an endorphin rush.
Yeah.
But then it goes away after 8 seconds. And if you don't do what the customer wants, you don't get one. Mm. So everybody's a drug addict with the maskers. I went from that. I wrote a soundtrack for it. The Bad Company, I made a fake LinkedIn page for it. All because Adderall does nothing for us.
That book is called The Maskers, and it is available on Amazon.
Cool.
And there's even an audiobook, but not your voice.
Not my voice. Nope.
How did that conversation go? The publisher goes, "Well, you've got a nice book here."
Listen, I'm such a bad out loud reader. Like, remember when you were in school and the teacher would go, "Everyone's going to take a paragraph."
Yeah.
And then you get nervous and you start counting the desks leading up to you. You're like, one, two, three. And then you'd practice it. The duck-billed platypus is the only mammal. No, come on, man. Just be a baby. Come on, be more natural. "Hey, guys, you know the duck-billed platypus?" You're trying to, right. And then the girl in front of you would be like, "The duck-billed platypus." You're like, "I miscounted. Now I got to read it long." And it, like, it bothers me reading. So I married into being a grandpa, right? So when I met my granddaughter Jane for the first time, I'm nervous. You know, you're meeting them. And now kids have a lot of grandparents.
Yes.
Like when I was growing up, it felt like you only had a couple. But now grandma's married 3 times. So you have the original grandpa. Number two still says hi every once in a while. And then you have the most current. So there's 6 just on the mom side, right? Yeah. So Jane wanted me to read. So I'm coming into this reading tournament 5th seed. in the grandpa reading thing.
You're an underdog.
And so they hand me this dinosaur book. And I can't. I'm like. And then the Allopolis Triceratops. And they're like little kids. They just took the book out of my hand and just chucked it. Right? They did not like my read. No. And then now they have, you know, choices. So they all looked at their mom and went, "Mother, bring us a new grandpapa." "This one bores me." Yeah.
That's it for another Bob and Tom Show Extra. Catch us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. For Bob and Tom Extra, this is Christopher. Take care, everybody.
Hey, I'm Chris Van Vliet. Go behind the scenes and beyond the headlines with the biggest names in pro wrestling and beyond.
Mr. Sandman.
All I ever wanted to be was a pro wrestler. So I got to live my life and make people really happy.
The Heartbreak Kid himself, Shawn Michaels.
Do you think there's anybody better than you were?
I think I was great at what I did. And I think other people were great at what they did as well. Greatness is more a mindset, I think, than anything else.
Mindset, motivation, insight with Chris Van Vliet. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.